Step number one, identify the needs of your community. In the example of my rural mountain community, the need was clear. We began by stating our common needs to preserve the open spaces, beauty, and unspoiled nature of the wilderness that we'd chosen for our homes. Step number two, identify the vision of your community. Once we were clear on what we wanted to happen, the next step in our planning was to create a vision of how we wanted the needs we'd identified to be met and what the success of our vision would look like. This is always an interesting process that ignites the imagination with many possibilities, some more likely to become realities than others. Yet I've found that in addition to helping a community move into the process of working together, it's this step, perhaps more than any other, that opens the floodgates of communication and the deep sharing of people's thoughts, attitudes, experiences, loves, and desires for themselves and their families, particularly their children. In our case, we followed the guidelines of community building and became very specific very quickly. We stated that the community was being formed to fill a one-time need, or so we thought, to preserve the land and the way of life that we loved and cherished. We felt that we could accomplish as an organized group with one voice what we could not accomplish as individuals by periodically working together on one aspect of the problem or another. Step number three, identify the plan. During this step in the process, we got down to brass tacks by naming specific action items. And as it is to be expected in any group dynamic, some people were vocal and bubbling with ideas, while others sat quietly, listening and chiming in only when they felt they could contribute in a meaningful and useful way. I believe it's fair to say, for everyone in our community, that we were pushed to the edge of our comfort zones, and for some, maybe a little beyond our comfort zones, as we made commitments and accepted responsibilities for the steps that would need to happen to ensure the success of our plan. While we all wanted the same thing, to preserve our way of life and the beauty of our valley, we quickly discovered that we were basing our goals on the emotions of our attachment to the land. As a geologist, I offered a way to take our efforts one step further and base our case on the availability of the precious resource that we all needed, groundwater. The magnitude and scale of the development being proposed would require huge amounts of water, which is an increasingly rare resource in the arid deserts of the Southwest. My role was to develop a truthful and factual assessment of the groundwater in the area, including the size of the reservoir, the thickness of the aquifer, and how many years it takes for the winter snow to percolate through the rock and recharge our water table. Using maps from the United States Geologic Survey of the geology and existing water wells in our area, our community worked together to build a solid case. We presented evidence that the groundwater levels could not sustain the kind of development that was proposed, as well as the data showing how the development would compete for irrigation water from our valley southward all the way to the Texas border. Step number four, communicate. Staying in touch with members of a community while you're working toward a specific goal is the key to coordinating everyone's efforts. Because our community was so geographically spread out, we had to be especially creative in the ways that we communicated. We agreed to meet on a weekly basis for nearly 8 weeks to put our arguments together. During that time, we shared phone numbers, fax numbers, and physical addresses, something that can be a challenge in rural areas. Members met over coffee, tea, family dinners, and late-night cookie fests. And when all was said and done, our informal community of people who had reluctantly joined together to save their way of life became a close-knit community of friendships that continue to this very day. One morning, just a few short months after we came together for the first time, I drove with four community members 3 hours to the New Mexico capital of Santa Fe, and met with one of the state senators who would help us present our case. I shared the groundwater assessments, the maps we'd created, and the impact that the proposed development would have upon communities beyond our valley throughout the state. The rest, as they say, is history. The state of New Mexico did not grant the permits the developers needed to proceed with their plans, and our valley has remained intact and undeveloped ever since.